You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We're in 1 Timothy chapter 2 tonight. I'm so delighted that Carol Tudor's been with us today. You did a marvelous job, the pre-service. I had more people talking about that. And Brother Martinez, don't ever admit that we had a hot dog fellowship when we have a health nut here. But he did it anyway. And Brother Miller, I hope I can get back there to say hello to you before you slip out. But I'm so proud of you and your wife. And Tony and Ruth, good to see you back tonight. Wonderful. I know it's hard. And all of you that are visiting with us tonight, you folks, I want to meet you. I probably have met you, have I? I know. But I'm so glad you're here tonight from Napa area. And all of you that are in God's house, you made a wise decision to get your children at the house of God. Get yourself to the house of God. And it's a great crowd here tonight up on the balcony in the lower floor, the Spanish over at the other property, the children's church going on, and the nursery, and the squalling going on there as well. Well, let's bow for prayer, shall we? Our Father, how thankful I am for the precious Bible, that word that comforts our heart when we're so weary, that word that convicts our heart when we're so backslidden, so weak, that word that instructs us. God said, your word says, you're going to bless us if we just read it. Blessed is he that readeth and heareth and keepeth the words of this prophecy. We're such a blessed people. And I pray that tonight as we continue this now new series, last week and this week on the marks of a mighty church, that we'd be a mighty church for thee. For I ask this prayer in Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. We recall last week, then by way of introduction, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus are written to two men that Paul won to Christ. And they're both preachers. And he wrote them about a dozen or 15, 18 times about having sound faith. Sound, the word sound means to have healthy. God wants us to have healthy doctrine. Sound in the faith, sound doctrine. He goes over and over that word doctrine. We looked at every one last week. Sound doctrine, healthy doctrine. And I mentioned last week, and it's so true, this contemporary movement that's invaded our independent fundamental churches, it's not going to survive. I've seen it. I've been here almost 50 years. I've watched it. I won't re-preach them. I watched it last week. I told you how it invades the church. And let's get rid of the word church. And that was the late 70s, early 80s. Let's get rid of the word church. Let's be a fellowship. Let's be a center. But you don't have anything called center. That was a little fad for a while. And then let's get rid of the word Baptist. Now let's be the grape and the vine and the door and the candle point and the this and that. But better tell people what you are. We're a Baptist church, and we're an independent fundamental Baptist. We believe in old-fashioned music. We believe in using the psalm book, and I thank God for this psalm book right here. And we're going to keep it in our church. We're not going to follow the bouncing ball up there. We're going to try to keep the notes in the church so the people learn how to sing music through the notes. That's why we have so many generational. Everybody here that sang tonight, I think, was born here. Everybody, I believe that's true. They all learn the music here in the grade school and elementary and junior high and high school and college. And tonight I want you to understand that it's very important that we're sound, healthy in doctrine, teachings. Tonight we're in chapter 2, and I'd like you to read with me verses 1 through 6. 1 Timothy 2, the second one is found in this area. Verses 1 through 6, let's read together. Ready, begin. I exhort, therefore, that first of all,
supplications, prayers, intercessions, and
You know, tonight, I'll put my finger on the missing ingredient in the church, and it's very obvious. It tells you in verse 1 and 2, it's prayer. We have not because we ask not. And this church needs to be known as a praying church. We're known nationwide as the singing church. Are we known as the praying church? On Wednesday night, we come to church, and I always welcome you. And then I said, well, let's go to prayer, and I'm asking you to pray for these things. And we go to prayer. We're going to continue that till the day I die or till the day that God takes me off the scene. I want to be a praying church. I believe in Saturday night men's prayer. We have it here at this property, the other property. Big crowd last night. Huge crowd of men that prayed and sought the face of God. And I wonder how much has been done on Sunday from those men that come and assemble in the auditorium below us for prayer. I see ladies praying. Do you remember those COVID days? Oh, I remember them. I remember when we were not allowed in this building. But on Sunday morning, I'd preach to an empty crowd. There'd be 6, 8, 10, 12 of us in here. We weren't supposed to have that many, but in 3,000 seats, we're not going to catch it. And you know, I preached, but I tell you, I also remember those 482 days. There was never a day go by that I'd go by Clyde Avenue when there was no school, or when I came by here when there's no college and nothing happening. And the buses were parked for 482 days. But at that, I'd find people out front on those steps kneeling and praying. And out that grass and the grass over at Clyde Avenue, I'd come out here. I would regularly see mothers and their children in the daytime praying. Brother John, I'd see you and deacons every night coming to pray on the steps out front and just kneel out there. I'd see children praying. I'd see teenagers praying. I saw God's people. And God did something in those days called COVID. Good things, but it was because of prayer. God answers prayer. Prayer has said, I have come to the end of myself. I need God. God, I need you. And that's where God wants us to live. God wants us to live when we are always in need of Him. That we call out to Him. You know, a mother or father, they have a little child. And that little child is independent. You don't like independent children. You like it when they would need you. Mama, Daddy, I need to talk to you. And then they become teenagers. And they begin to clam up. Teenagers, always keep yourself close to your parents. Always keep yourself close to your daddy. Always keep yourself close to your mama. If God's given you parents, be close to them. Don't let anything tear that apart. They say, well, my dad's not a very good Christian. My mother's not a very good Christian. My mother is not a Christian. My dad is not a Christian. It doesn't matter. You stay close to them. And God wants us to stay close to Him. And tonight, the marks of a mighty church, the second mark, is missing in our church, and that is prayer. The Bible says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, priority, supplications, prayers, intercessions, give of thanks be made for all men. And for whom? For kings. Pray for the president of the United States and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God and our Savior. I think of the marks of a great church, Acts 1:14. And they continued steadfastly in prayers. You know, that early church was a praying church before they had the power of chapter 2, before they had the preaching in chapter 3, before they had the persecution in chapter 4, before they had the pocketbook, the offering in chapter 5, before they had the polity of the church in chapter 6, before they had preaching in chapter 7 and pain in chapter 7 with Stephen dying as a martyr, before they had the Apostle Paul in chapter 8 or chapter 9 where Peter was preaching the gospel, they had prayer. Prayer is the foundation of this church. God's word says, my house, my house. This is God saying, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Primary thing that we do around here is prayer. Amen. Calling out to God, I need you. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. It's enjoyable getting older in life. As I look at our church, I'm older than many of you, not all of you, but many of you. And I've lived a good life. But Brother Manna, I'm telling you, one of the things I'm enjoying right now in my life is that fellowship with the King. And he walks with me. He walks with me, I tell you that for sure. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own. Oh, how God speaks to me as I walk with him. And the older you get in life, you should spend more time, not less time. In the prayers of the early church, there's the prayers of the apostle in Ephesians, in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. And Peter and John went up to the place of prayer. There's the prayers of pastors in Acts chapter 6, verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to the word of God and to prayer. There's a prayer of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 31 where he cried out and God says, thy prayer is heard. And Cornelius had his prayer was heard. There's the prayer of Acts chapter 12 where Peter was locked in prison and Herod saw that it pleased the Jews. He took James and brother John and beheaded him. And it pleased the Jews that he beheaded him. They took Peter and he thrust him in prison. But the Bible says in chapter 12, verse number 5, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church on his behalf. He went to the door of the earth that shake and the gate, iron gate opened up and he walked out. And all of a sudden it dawned on him when he got out, he just broke out of jail. And he went to the house where they were praying and he knocked on the door. And as he knocked on that door, little Rhoda came. And Rhoda said, oh my, it can't be true. It's you, Peter, it's you. We're praying for you right now. And she ran back and told, she said, prayer's answered. Peter's at the door. And they said, woman, you're mad. You're crazy. They didn't even believe it. They came and got him. Prayer was what God used to answer Peter and get him out of jail. I think of prayer. Turn with me in your psalm book to page 393, please. 393. As you turn to 393. Prayer, 393, is a wonderful treasure. Sing it with me. Prayer is a wonderful thing. Blessings all ours without measure. So pray about everything. Once I was burdened with many a care, problems too hard for my sweet soul to bear. Then God's word came and the message so clear. Pray about everything. Prayer is a wonderful treasure. Prayer is a wonderful thing. Amen. Blessings all ours. Blessings all ours, college students. Blessings all ours, teenagers, without measure. So pray. Look at page 394. I need, sing it, thee every hour, most gracious. Good, good. No tender. Shout it out, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Say, I need thee, oh, I need thee. I come to thee, I come to thee. Go to the next page, 395. I was discouraged when no answer came, for I prayed for years and I still saw no change. I was ready. Listen, listen. God's power broke through, and prayer has got his prayer. Good, good singing. One more song. Next page, 396. 396. This is what prayer is about. I must tell Jesus all of my. Good singing. Keep it up.
Burdens alone in my.
Sing it. Sing it together. I must tell Jesus. Again, sing it. I must
tell Jesus.
I cannot
bear.
That's beautiful singing. Beautiful singing. I must tell
Jesus.
I must tell
Jesus.
Jesus. Thank you for singing those songs. You can put your songbook away. God's word says men ought always, Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not faint. God's word says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Here's chapter 2, and here's Paul writing to Timothy, and he said, now Timothy, I'm instructing you in the church that you're pastoring. I want you to know that first of all, you have to have sound, very healthy, a healthy diet of doctrine, but then you're going to have prayer. You have to have prayer. You can have healthy doctrine, but without prayer, it's going nowhere. And so God's word says in 1 Timothy, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication. What is a supplication? He said, I want this church, I want you, Timothy, to teach your people. They need to have supplication. Supplication is praying for Colonel Harder as he goes into surgery this week. Supplication is praying for Brother Miller as he's healing. Supplication is praying for Brother Peter as he's going through all these cancer. Supplication is praying for Brother Galvan in the Spanish ministry with his cancer that he's suffering with tonight. Supplication is praying for Brother Art who sits right down here, and he hasn't been here one time since April, and his dear wife because he's shut in at home. Supplication is praying on the behalf of another. I wonder, you say, Pastor, I'm not praying. Well, just take that word supplication. Just think of all the people that you know. Just think of Mexico. We have, I think, 10 missionary families in Mexico. Just think of, and they published it last week ago. We published it in men's prayer on Saturday night. Just think of the number of missionaries. We have 100 and some missionaries that we're praying for in all these countries in the world. I think we have 10 missionaries in the Philippines. Just think of them. And we're praying, Lord, I don't know what Rick Martin's need is today. But I know he's had malaria about 6 to 8 times. I know his wife's had heart conditions. I know that they struggled in the journey, though they have 16 Bible colleges and have started nearly 1,000 churches in the Philippines in these last 48 years. God, you blessed them. You're amazing what you've done for them. But he's got a need today. That's what supplication is. Supplication is praying, saying, I see Brother Benny and Monica Narula back there. Lord, I don't know what their need is, but I'm in their area where their business is, and I'm praying for their business today that God, you would bless it, and that you'd anoint it, and that you'd prosper it, and that it'd grow. Supplication is saying, I don't know what you're doing, God, but I know Brother Manna is a builder, and I know today he's building wherever he is, keep him safe. I know Brother Octavio, I know he had that bad injury he prayed for, and he's supposed to lose his leg, and it's not right, but it's got a leg on tonight. God, I pray for him. Prayer is supplication. It's pouring your heart out on behalf of someone else. See, all of our prayers are me-centered. I'm not happy. I am lonely. I'm broke. I'm not having a good time in life. But what about, he says, pray for others. I don't say this. I didn't even say it this morning. I didn't want to embarrass Sister Carmen Bellina back there, but it's several years ago, her husband's in the bulletin today that he went home to be with the Lord, and she's raising those two kids. If there's ever a mother that's done a perfect job raising two kids, it's her. But she's kept them in the house of God. This must have been hard. He died so young. You know, today, why don't you pray for her? Why don't you pray for Brother, Sister Debbie, Brother Wayne tonight? Why don't you pray for them? They struggle with their health, but they're 4:45, I saw them, 4:30, I saw them pulling up here tonight. They're at the house of God. I looked out the window this morning at 8:08, I saw Craig England walking across that parking lot to his Sunday school class. Why don't you pray on the behalf of others? Why don't you take the sick people that are sick, we have them listed in Saturday night men's prayer. Why don't you take the shut-ins that we have? Why don't you take the high school seniors? We have every high school senior every week on that prayer list. These 22 kids that are graduating here in a few weeks, they need to know the wisdom and the help of God in their lives. Why don't you pray for those 55, 60 young people that are in Bible college out of our church that they would have wisdom? Why don't you pray for the ones who we did last night? Their names are larger names. They're bold names because they're all graduating from Bible college in just a few weeks, and they'll need a place to go to serve God. Why don't you pray for them? That's what supplication is, praying on the behalf of another. What else? He said, I want you secondly to pray. What is prayer? First of all, supplication and prayer, it's calling out to God. Brother Donald, you and your sweet wife, just call out to God. Those two boys you're raising doing such a good job, just call out to God. I need you, God. Help me. And then he says, intercession. What is intercession? It's coming together, and the word literally means in conference. So I get Brother Jakob here. I said, Brother Jakob, let's go in conference together. Let's pray about your children and your grandchildren. And you have great grandchildren, don't you? You're old, aren't you? But I remember 46 years ago, when God brought you into our life, and the Manleys the same day. That's what intercession is, that I join in conference. I get three girls, ladies together Wednesday night, and I see you come in here. I see you in prayer all over the auditorium. That's what I like to see as a pastor. I like to see intercessions going on. I like to see two or three of you gather together, two or three or four or five or six of you gather together, or by twos, you just gather together, you pray for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes, just praying for the service, that God would anoint it with his power and his blessing. But what else does he say? Not only supplications, praying on behalf of others, and prayers, just calling out to God, and intercession. coming in conference. But he said, I want you to pray giving thanks. Giving thanks. Our prayer life ought to be a Thanksgiving list. All year long, just not Thanksgiving. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. God's good to me. I don't deserve you people. I know that more than you know it. I deserve a troubled church. We're 8 weeks into the year. Every week I've heard of a pastor resigning his church and leaving or having to leave his church for some reason or another every week. I'm the opposite. You're probably praying now, it's getting time, Lord. We got to get rid of him. But I'm staying, and I'm here to torment you as long as possible. How do you see your brother Glenn and his sweet wife back there and his kids? Michelle has grown up on you, brother. She's gone. You got a high school senior boy. I give thanks to God for them. Glenn always tells me, Pastor, we're going to be out of town tonight. Here's where we're going. Always tells me. I thank God for members like that. And then what he says, he said, verse number 8, I will therefore that men, what's the word? Pray everywhere, lifting up what two words? Holy hands. Brother Doug, I saw you tonight just lifting your hands to the different songs. It just gets on you, doesn't it? It just gets on us. And I see him lift his hand. I said, I'm lifting my hand too. I literally said that one time. He's lifting his hand. I'm lifting my hand too. I just had it up, but it's going back up again. Brother Doug and Wilton, they've lived a holy life. When they pray, they're lifting up holy hands of God. Clean hands, pure hands, from a pure heart. God says, I want you to come to me in purity of heart. Many, many years ago, in Swan's Quarter, North Carolina, I just saw Miss Robertson. You know where Swan's Quarter is? It's on the coast way. Is anybody from North? You know where Swan's Quarter is? It's a big place. It's huge. Population, 324 people. They established it in the 1800s. They were preaching the Word of God in Swan's Quarter. And in 1874, they saw a piece of property. They said, we want this property. We want to build a church here. And they went to the man. The man said it was $300 or whatever, but they didn't have that kind of money. And they said, but we want to, this is the property. God wants us to have this property. They prayed and they prayed and they prayed. Finally, they settled. And they settled on this piece of property. And they built a building, but the people said they would take their wagons and ride by that property all the time and say, we should have built there. You can see the church is there today in Swan's Quarter, North Carolina. In 1874, after it was done, God hailed down, watered down, just, and the city flooded. And that church was not built on a foundation. It was just laid there. And the waters began to pick that church up. You can authenticate this and see it's a true story. That church came off of its property and turned right and went down the street and turned itself around and backed it into the property they wanted. You can go see, that's a true story about that church. God wanted that church there and they left it. I believe the man gave them property for free. I'd give it for free too. Why don't we have some miracles like that? Why don't we have some miracles that God intervened? I think of all you boys down here, all seniors, and they are scattered everywhere. There's six boys here tonight, plus the rest of the class with their parents. God has something for you, Moe. I don't know what it is. Don't settle for anything less. It may be to be a cop, a policeman. It may be to be the next pastor of this church. Don't settle for anything. Riley, God has something big for your life. I know He does. Dom, I know God has something for your life. Dom's 6'5". Are you 6'5"? One of the most tender, sweet boys you'll ever meet. Josh, you're a wonderful young man. He's a tall boy. What are you, 6'4"?
6'3",
6'4". 6'3", 4". God has something for you, Josh. I don't know what it is. Hudson, God has something for you. You know it too. I would ask you to pray for all the boys and girls, our seniors in high school. They have to have God. You say, well, I don't come to men's prayer. You don't have to. I'll get to the prayer page if you need their names. These 21, 22 kids that are graduating, they need God's help.
Amen.
They need God's direction, God's wisdom on their life. That day, Ashton, you're graduating from high school. I think you want to be a doctor, if I'm not mistaken. And you're on your way. You're doing great. And if that's God's will for his life, let it be that Paul had Dr. Luke that traveled with him, who wrote the book of Luke. You don't have to hang your head. I'm not going to the ministry. Take care of me. Rub my feet every night. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our Father, the marks of a mighty church is a praying church. That church in Swan Quarter, North Carolina, they prayed. And God, you answered their prayer. You put that church exactly where you wanted it. You did that, God. I think of loved ones that are here that are lost without Christ. May this be the week of their salvation. I pray that we'd be very courageous to tell our loved ones how to be saved, how to be born again, the Bible way to heaven. I pray, dear God, that you'd bless every person here, that we would become a praying people. May the people in this church begin to use a prayer journal as my prayer. May they come before your presence with thanksgiving. May they come with supplication and prayers. May they come with intercession and giving of thanks. And may we be a mighty, mighty church of prayer.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.